Here we go. Hello! We are the Brothers Geek. This is our podcast. My name is Patrick Schmaltz with my two brothers, Christopher Schmaltz. Hello, Christopher.
Good evening.
And hello, Andrew.
Hello and good evening. Welcome.
We're brothers. We're geeks. We talk about geeky things. This is episode number 174. We're recording this on July 24th. Comic-Con just happened. Oh, I should turn my AC off. Shit. Big faux pas. Sorry, guys. That's why that noise was there. Yeah. Professionals.
What? This is what we do, baby.
One of us is.
What it do, baby?
So, we're talking Comic-Con coverage mostly. I have a list of other things that I've been watching that I might touch on. But we're going to talk about all the announcements.
Comic-Con, the biggest pop culture event in the world.
So starting off, like, we have gone many times each. I went 8 years straight. I sort of took a break for a while because, like, it became kind of a madhouse. You know, I got really kind of sick of them just being very comic book and TV focused, and that increased the amount of people going and causing you stress. What's that? Sorry, movie and television, and like the comic books became more of a secondary thing. That's just my own thing, but it we stopped going for whatever reasons, and now it's really hard to get. You know, it's really
next to impossible. It's next to impossible to get passes.
Yeah, I mean,
when I try to explain to people, and we've talked about this before, whenever we talk about San Diego Comic-Con, we try to explain to people, like, the amount of demand that exists. Like, people can't conceptualize what it's like to go to San Diego Comic-Con, and they can't conceptualize the demand that exists. When I tell people what it's like, I tell them, like, imagine Super Bowl, but it's every year, and it's in the same city.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the demand, the scene, and...
Super Bowl crowd 4 days straight.
4 days straight. Trying to get tickets for 4 days of Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the biggest event in all of pop culture, like we said. And it's like getting once, you know, people save up for years. They attempt to get tickets every single year, and they don't. It's the tickets, it sells out faster than, like, Rolling Stone reunion concerts.
We have been attending... In the overlap between the way they used to make tickets available to where they now make tickets available. And so the way they used to make tickets available, it was far easier. We didn't really have to sort of struggle.
Yeah.
We could get a ticket, and then it became so popular that they had to completely revamp their system for making tickets available to the public. And remember that first year where they went to online system and just destroyed their servers? Like, I mean, it was catastrophic.
Like, within, like, a minute. Effort.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, it immediately crashed the website. And you hear there was all these, you know, stories about people who were, they were setting up their machine. They had 10 computers.
Right.
With auto refresh for all the websites.
That's
the waiting room.
That's the level. That's the level that you
browsers, 25 browsers running on each computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Auto renew until somebody got into the waiting room to buy. Hundreds of attempts a second.
I think they scaled back a little bit, but like the numbers that I'm getting from the website is in 2015 they did 167,000 people went to it, and then in like they estimate that over 250,000 people go to San Diego. Just, I mean, not everybody gets in, but people help out. They help build. They help. They
well,
help like
attendees, dude. Think about the 10,000 people that go. What did you say, Christopher?
I was going to say, there's all kinds of events outside.
That don't require a ticket. Yeah.
And go to hotels and just outside.
Yeah. San Diego Comic-Con is like the Matrix. You You so, can't be told what it is. You have to experience it for yourself. That's really
that's really true. So because of that, there's a ton of people. This is on par with like E3 or like one of these showcase things that they do where they announce a bunch of shit to masses, and they've been announcing movies, and we have a bunch of movies and television shows that we're excited about
this Comic-Con also has the added kind of surrealness of this is the first Comic-Con since the pandemic.
Right.
They suspended it in 2020, 2021. This is the first Comic-Con since 2019.
They had something in the fall.
But the event in July for 4 days at the San Diego Convention Center, this is the first time it's back there since 2019.
I mean, there's plenty of comic book conventions, and the question that people always ask is, do you dress up? Because it's so, like, commonplace now that, like, people go to these things. I've never dressed up. We've never dressed up.
Cosplay is not how I express my fandom.
Yeah, it's not for me. I don't need that, really. I'll dress up when I go to Ren Faire because I'm a medieval nerd. So, yeah. Okay.
Hey, my fiance cosplays. My Betsy Shuler cosplay. She's getting into it. Like, she's starting to make her own costumes. She's
gonna compete. There's a whole thing.
Yeah, it's a whole to the convention life that, you know, we don't get into.
I just want to say this out loud, and nothing against people who cosplay and like their show their fandom in different ways. But if you buy a skin tight jumpsuit of a costume and put it on, that's not cosplaying. You're wearing pajamas.
You're a little bit of a gatekeeper right now, brother.
That's not cosplay. Sew some shit.
Patrick does not speak for the Brothers Geek.
No,
that's
not part
of this.
Okay, whatever. Okay, trailers.
Part of San Diego Comic-Con.
What are you doing? Why are you interrupting me? Why are you doing this?
Because I'm giving context. You're not giving proper context.
I don't care. Let's just go.
Okay, let's talk about it. Let's go.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, yeah, come on. We've talked about it. She-Hulk trailer got dropped. And what do you guys think of She-Hulk? Do you think you'll watch it?
Definitely watch.
Are you guys one of those guys that like looked at it and thought the special effects look kind of poopy?
No,
they're a little not great, but they're not poopy. They're not bad. Like,
there's an ongoing story in the water supply that Marvel Films just rushes shit out, and the CGI is declining, and it's such a meme now. It's all horse shit. I'm tired of that conversation, to be completely honest, because it's a totally disrespectful situation to every person who works 15-hour days to get CGI completed. For everybody who works in your line of work, Patrick, who busts their ass on these projects, no one is half-assing it. Everyone is giving 150% to make things as
well.
And
the thing is they're employing in each one of these movies and shows, they're probably employing, you know, on a movie, they're probably employing 1,000 CGI artists.
To get it done. Is what piques my interest about She-Hulk is the lead actor who I never watched Orphan Black, but you guys raved
about
it.
Great show.
Tatiana Maslany is bona fide star.
She's amazing.
Yeah. I was slightly disappointed because I know that Alison Brie was also up for that role. Like, she appeared on a podcast and she talked about how it came down to her and like one or two other people. I'm a huge Alison Brie fan, so the fact that she didn't get it, I think she would have been really good in anything.
Nothing against Alison Brie. I've worked with Alison Brie. I think she's great. I think that Tatiana, what's her last name?
Maslany.
She's a better actor. Like that's what I'll say. Like I think that she can sell it more.
Okay.
But Yeah, I think it looks really interesting. We got a lot of like footage of what the show is going to be like. Seems like Hulk is training her on an island to learn how to use her powers and not suck at this being Hulk. It's smart Hulk again. He looks like his arm. It's looks like his arm is okay.
Yeah, he's fully recovered from his
stand. Yeah, yeah. Well, he was the last time we saw him. I forget which movie this was. Was this Shang-Chi where he was? He was
Banner. He was Banner, yeah. And his arm was still. So the timeline when Shang-Chi came out was very close to Endgame. Like it just had happened.
So there's questions there. Are they going to answer those questions? Also, we see her like she's a lawyer for heroes, I guess. But and then there's
kind of piques my interest just for the silliness of the idea of superheroes needing a lawyer and some kind of like legal structure that comes up relating to superhero incidents.
I'm gonna look at some names, right? I love that it's called She-Hulk Attorney at Law. Like that's the full title.
I had never read any real She-Hulk comics. Have you been invested in the character at all in the comics?
No.
Or Jennifer Walters or whatever her name is?
No. Yeah.
I've only ever read her in team up like.
Yeah,
Avengers here and there. I feel like she's always in like part of a story, but I've never read like the She-Hulk book. She has a small part in some of the Ed Brubaker Daredevil series. It's Brian Michael Bendis. You're right, Brian Michael Bendis.
Who's in event?
Such a good series like of Daredevil that Bendis wrote.
They're both lawyers, her and Matt Murdock.
Right. So. Well, and then spoiler alert, like the end of this trailer, we see Daredevil. They don't show his face, but we see him with the two batons.
Daredevil.
The fake out would be it's somebody else in a suit again, but like
they won't do that.
Yeah, they should like they shouldn't do that. Like
Matt Murdock already appeared in No Way Home. Yeah. Like they're bringing Charlie Cox back.
Well, and they they did a whole Marvel timeline of upcoming, and one of the things is Daredevil Reborn. Born Again. I don't know if I like that name. Born Again.
It's a callback to his religion, dude.
Yeah. It's Catholicism.
That's it.
It's a central conceit of his character is his Catholicism. The guilt and shame and struggling with righteousness and violent action. It's the best part of his series is him struggling with his guilt.
That's a really good Netflix series, by the way.
Oh my god!
He's rumored to be part of the Echo show also. That's interesting. So we should see him sooner than that. And what, like, do you have the dates on when She-Hulk is going to drop, Andrew?
It's like next spring. It's early 2023.
Series premiere August 17th.
Oh, it's in a month. Holy shit.
It's in a month.
In a month.
You're way off, Andrew.
Oh my god.
I was thinking of Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantum Mania.
Oh yeah. That's way off in 2023. Yeah, Tim Roth is going to be in this. You know, it's an Abomination. I'm looking at the people.
Neil Blanc.
Jamila Jamil.
She plays Titania,
which is she's like a random heavy that shows up in the 80s comics all the time. Female heavy.
Jamila Jamil has like a wonderful social media presence. She's so like enthusiastic and fun. She posted a TikTok or like an Instagram reel the other day at Comic-Con. She met Paul Rudd and like took a couple fangirly type pictures and like took like a silly video of her like sneaking up behind him and trying to like sniff Paul Rudd. It was kind of, it was funny.
Isn't there like a Comic Con thing of Paul Rudd sniffing what's his face? Chris Evans? Chris Evans. I think he tried to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd, man.
Paul Rudd. He's a class act. Okay, well, anything more to say about that?
It just starts in 3 weeks. I will absolutely watch it.
Absolutely. What's WF trailer, Andrew? What's that?
Wakanda Forever.
Wakanda Forever. Oh my god. Well, you should have done Black Panther. BPWF. I would have gotten it. Wakanda Forever.
I got Misty, dude. I got to admit, I got Misty watching
100%
that.
100% Misty.
I'm Misty.
There's so many questions for me about what are they going to do? What direction do they go? Like, I feel like if it was Chadwick Boseman, it's sort of just like they would have just made another movie with him running around kicking ass against the next villain. But now it's like they got to restructure their whole thing. And to put insult to injury, like the real life getting in the way of all this, like the actor who plays his sister is like a nut bar who refuses to get vaccinated, so they don't want her to be the next Black Panther. So,
well, who knows if they don't or not?
Yeah,
she's in the movie.
There's been a lot of problems. Yeah,
there was behind the scenes drama about her not wanting to get vaccinated, delaying production.
Yeah.
I think she actually got sick with COVID during production of the movie, and they had to delay it. And it like was this overarching, like, come on, it's a simple thing.
This movie is a bit cursed. It feels like it's got some,
except for the fact that the trailer makes the movie look goddamn unbelievably amazing.
It looks cool.
Like,
it looks really cool.
Amazing.
I would like, I mean, we're talking about trailers right now, you know, so I'd like to just say this. I watched a trailer today on Netflix of some crap movie, whatever. And it gives so much away, like beat for beat, like what the movie's about. And it's like, I love a good trailer that tells you nothing. Cool imagery, cool
music.
That's
what this trailer does.
That's
it,
all.
It establishes
the
tone.
Tonal.
And introduces us to Namor the Submariner, the Prince of Atlantis. And I love. And
who's
sure
playing Namor?
A Mexican actor by the name of Tencho Huerta.
Oh.
He's appeared in some Mexican language stuff. He appeared on Narcos. I looked him up today because I didn't know him. Born and raised, he's like in Mexico City. But the I don't know if this exists in the comics. I assume it does. But the Atlantis that exists in this version of the MCU has Mesoamerican, Western Hemisphere kind of Aztec Mayan vibes.
Really?
So that culture, it's an extension of that culture, which I think is a very interesting choice. I haven't read enough Black Panther to know whether or not, or even Namor the Submariner, to know if that exists in the comics these days. But the fact that that is kind of the cultural, you know, baseline for this version of Namor, I think it's amazing. I think it's fantastic.
There's imagery of a woman who's pregnant, giving birth, and that we see a baby for like
underwater. That's like Namor.
So it's like Namor getting born.
It could be. Well, there's a lot of human births are done underwater. So that's
sure.
It's difficult to tell. I'd have to watch the trailer again.
I've only watched it once, so I haven't picked it apart.
I watched it five times last night.
Nice. Human,
just a human or Wakandan giving birth underwater.
Right.
I'm certain that it's Namor and his birth.
Well, because I didn't think about it like that, and I didn't know Namor was in it, I was thinking that did they make it so that's the child of T'Challa? Like, that's, like, going to be future Black Panther they're establishing? Like, are they trying to do something like that?
This movie, the scuttlebutt on this movie is that there's a conflict between Wakanda and Atlantis.
I love that. I want there to be a conflict between Wakanda and Latveria.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I want that movie. Dr. Doom! Doom
needs to be the big bad that is the thread through all of this shit.
They're going multiverse Kang. They're going instead of like grounded reality.
How can they not do Dr. Doom?
They gotta do Dr. Doom.
How is Dr. Doom not a centerpiece of some of this shit?
I think they announced the Fantastic Four movie will be the first movie of Phase 6. I think Doom will come into Phase 6.
Phase 5 will be the big bad for Phase 6.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I love the idea of Kang.
I mean, that's a big part of Fantastic Four. Whatever about Fantastic Four, who they actually are, but they have to introduce Doom in that movie, right? Yeah, Doom has to be a big part of that.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Kang just because I'm a huge fan of Jonathan Majors as an actor. He's so good.
Oh, yeah, he's great. No, I honestly, like, looking back on the Marvel series that have been in Disney Plus, Loki is at the top for me. Like, I enjoyed that one the most. WandaVision, I think, is number two, only because I feel like the first three episodes are lacking. But we've talked about this.
Jonathan Majors was the lead in Lovecraft Country, one season of HBO, that like horror sci-fi.
Oh yeah. I never watched that. Did you watch that?
Dude, you have to watch Lovecraft Country. Is it good? Good.
Oh damn, it's so good, dude.
You'd love it.
But here's my problem, I'm annoyed by this. Is that. What Kang represents is that, okay, Thanos threatened the universe, and now Kang threatens the multiverse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, okay, what are we... It's ratcheting up the...
Yeah, escalation.
They have to keep escalating,
yeah.
It annoys the hell out of me.
I think... I feel
like they have to do that, where it's entertaining as hell to have Daredevil fighting in Hell's Kitchen, that the Earth is not threatened, it's people are threatened. God, it's like...
Well, I think that's my problem with Thor Love and Thunder, and we haven't recorded a Thor Love and Thunder episode, but...
No.
We all saw it, right?
Yeah.
A short little review is, I thought it was fun, it was very good, but like... it is so far beyond real world stakes that I sort of just it loses me a little bit, because like, you're off in space land.
Yeah.
Real world. New York is in trouble. You know, humans need help.
By giving Jane Foster cancer, they tried to give it kind of grounded real-world stakes by making her sick and her becoming the Mighty Thor as a way to kind of, like, cure her cancer, but it ends up accelerating things. And they tried to give it stakes that way. It didn't really land for me.
Yeah.
But you're right. Love and Thunder didn't have any... It wasn't grounded in any kind of way... And
the comic, this is a plug for the comic book run of that is far superior.
Yes.
Yeah.
Than the movie. Read that comic. I mean, the centerpiece of all of that is the relationship, and Watiti kind of is loosey goosey and happy. You know, he gets it wrong about the relationship. Read the comic book run on
Mighty Thor by Fraction or something like that. Matt Fraction, right? It's a great series.
Okay.
No. Anyways, let's keep this train moving. We got more to talk about. What's the next one?
Let's talk TC for a second. Shazam, Fury of the Gods.
Well, and then we can sort of fold into that. They showed more footage of Black Adam too. So Shazam, I liked Shazam. Shazam was a very fun DC movie, and honestly, like, compared to the other movies, not as good, but like also less important and just a solid script. Like the first one was just fun, did what it needed to do.
Takes itself much less seriously.
Takes itself much less seriously, so everything is not like Batman, you know, Superman having to defend the Earth from like all these Kryptonians and Batman hating Superman. Like, oh, it's so weighty. Everything. Yeah. Yeah. What was that, Christopher?
Batman hating everyone.
Hating himself most of all.
So yeah. I like the,
including himself. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the idea of Shazam coming back. I like the character. I like, what's his face from Chuck? Andrew, help me.
Zachary Levy.
Yeah, he's great. I don't like the doubt yourself hero. He's in movie two. Why is he doubting himself? Like we've gotten through the doubts. You're a hero, dude. Like what? Why are you? Why is this the character struggle?
I mean, he got. Yeah, I don't disagree.
Imposter syndrome is real, dude.
Yeah, man.
I guess so.
It's also might be a metaphor for growing up. Billy Batson's getting older.
Yeah.
He's starting to doubt himself. Can he do this as an adult? You know, is he, you know, that kind of thing.
Lots of matured, like big actors in there.
Lots of maturity is doubting yourself, dude. So.
So, I mean, there's got to be some overlap. If they're smart, if they have anybody who's a Kevin Feige-esque, who's in that studio, they will have some smart overlaps of Black Adam. Like, how could you not have a smart overlap? Like, something clever to tie the two movies together. Put freaking Hawkman in there or something. Just tie it together. Dr. Fate. Yeah. You got to have him in there.
Are you excited for Black Adam?
I don't know. The Rock has been kind of phoning it in for the last like 5 years for me. So I look forward to it but I don't know if I like the anti-hero story.
He's been cashing the Fast and Furious checks.
That's what I'm saying.
What strikes me is that Black Adam is a, I think he, at least he, I get the feeling that he's passionate about this character.
Yeah.
So I have high hopes for that because if he's like, I think he views this character as sort of a role model or a way to cement his like position in the larger universe, and he's got something to say and all of that. So I view it as the Fast and Furious throwaway characters. But this is like, this can speak to children. And so I think that he's not going to mail this in. And I think it's a serious statement piece for him. So I have high hopes for that. It's a complex character. I hope they give it due justice to the character and the complexity of the anti-hero.
I always thought, and I have no idea who came first. I always thought that Dr. Fate and Doctor Strange are sort of like, they're just like copies of each other, right? Like it's like, this is the DC version and this is the Marvel version. And I don't know who stole from who, but I love the look of Dr. Fate's helmet. He is such a cool looking character. So I'm excited to see him. And I love, why can't I think of anyone today, Andrew?
Pierce Brosnan.
Thank you. Like, I love that he's in that.
It bums me out. I don't say I dislike it, but it kind of bums me out that they're using Pierce Brosnan as Dr. Really? Fate. Just because Dr. Fate appeared in the Justice League animated series, and he was voiced by a great, I mean, I think he's a British guy, but his ethnicity is Persian, I believe. Oded Fehr. He has a very distinctive voice. He was in the Mummy series. He played the Magi in the Mummy. I forget his character's name.
There should have been a non white dude.
Yeah. I think
because the origins of the character.
Yeah.
Is Egyptian, well, right? Or,
I think so. It's yeah. he. Yeah. Because, I mean, Black Adam is from the fictional country of Kandak.
So there's sort of footage that looks like there's a fight that takes place in this one, like, deserty city with what is that group called? The Dr. Fate, Hawk, I guess it's sort of the JSA, the Justice Society.
The Justice Society.
Because it's like Hawkman, Dr. Fate, Adam Smasher, played by Noah Centineo.
And Cyclone.
And
Patrick, hold on a second. Yeah. Noah Centineo, you've got his phone number, don't you?
I don't have his phone number, but I met him. Yeah.
Mesopotamia is Dr. Fate.
Yeah, he should be Hannah, Greek or something. Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, Hannah needs to text Noah and needs to get you guys an invite to the premiere.
Probably could happen.
Probably could happen.
You know who I worked with?
Brothers Deacon invite.
Get us onto the red carpet so we can interview some fools. Imagine the three of us interviewing people. Let's go.
Press credentials.
Okay.
You sell these dumb TikTokers that are like interviewing people and getting credentials to go to Comic-Con, dude. We are way smarter than all those dumb fucks.
What is the point of you making your career and doing all of this if you can't hook us up, dude?
Hook it up, bro.
Fine. I also
use those connections.
Also, I worked with Quintessa, who plays Cyclone on a TV show called Trinkets on Netflix.
Yeah.
If you ever want to watch it.
I watched the first season
of
Trinkets.
You're just moon-dropping a-hole.
They are a very nice person if you ever...
Okay. Reach out to them and get us credentials.
Yeah.
You piece of shit.
Wow. I mean, okay. So we're all excited for Shazam. We're all excited for Black Adam. We're definitely gonna watch these movies. But like,
I'm more excited for Black Adam than Shazam. Yes, Shazam's kind of meh for me.
Oh, okay. I definitely, Andrew, you mentioned this is like Henry Cavill as Superman is not pictured in these movies. That's the through line that they need to do. Henry Cavill needs to show up in one of those movies. Absolutely a Superman.
Well,
that will be
Were you guys aware of all... And I agree with you. Henry... Mm-hmm. Superman is the biggest hero in the world. He was.
You
the
gotta
first
have him just show up.
So, do you guys... But were you guys aware of the online rumors that were swirling that Cavill was going to do a surprise appearance? Apparently, it's based on nothing. It was just rumors.
Yeah.
That started online.
Internet being the internet,
and it became like this critical mass thing where people with millions of followers are tweeting about it. If he shows up, I'll lose my mind, blah, blah, blah. People are making videos about it, and it literally based on nothing. No allegation of, he's in the UK shooting The Witcher.
Yeah.
He was confirmed in the United Kingdom on Friday. So there's no way he's showing up Saturday.
Dude, he could overnight to Saturday to be at a panel at 4 p.m. He could do it. He could do it.
100%. He could totally do it. He's rich.
Bring the Concorde out of mothballs, right?
He's totally rich, dude. He could get back to San Diego.
Did they not fly the Concordes anymore?
They're retired for like 20 years.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
See,
there's one in the Smithsonian in D.C.
So, okay. Here's the biggest one for me. Maybe we should move this down to the end because I'm excited about that. Let's the House of the Dragon. You're excited about this, Andrew. It looks more footage of that. It looks really cool. I'm excited to see what they do with it. There's a lot more in this trailer about like who's who. There definitely is like a time jump, right? I'm not crazy. There's like
150 years before Robert's Rebellion.
No. There's like a little girl character, and then there's an adult version of her, right? Like,
so
there's two blonde people that look very similar who are talking about being the queen, and I'm like, are they two different characters, or is that the same person?
There's two different characters.
They look exact. Okay, jeez. Well,
They're Targaryens, dude. They got silver hair.
Fucking Targaryens.
So there's the older Targaryen named Rhaenyra, who is married to a Valyrian, Corlys Valyrian. So Rhaenyra is one of Jaehaerys the First's children.
I just fell asleep. You talking about
the lore is so cool. So Jaehaerys, listen. Jaehaerys had 13 kids. Almost all of them die. Rhaenyra is the oldest child. She cannot inherit the throne, so her dumb shit loser brother Viserys the First inherits the throne.
And he's got the red dragon, like the what's that dragon's name? You know it.
Vhagar.
But they call him something else, like the Blood Dragon or something like that.
No, that's
right?
Valerion the Black Dread was Aegon's dragon. Bro.
There's some name for him or something. I saw it on the internet,
you're getting into the weeds on this.
Anyways.
More than I am. Anyway,
but it's like a badass red dragon.
There is indeed a time jump, but it's not the character you think. They're going to tell the story of Rhaenys Targaryen from when she's a young girl.
That's what I'm saying.
Shut up. Viserys the First heir. She gets raised with Alicent Hightower. Alicent eventually marries her father.
Why do I know the Hightowers? Where do I know that name from?
They're the lords of Old Town.
Old Town?
The lords of Old Town. Old Town is where the Citadel is. It's the oldest, the oldest city.
Okay.
I'm very excited for this show. I'm very into the lore. This is a very lore-heavy show, and I'm all about it.
This is all based on short stories by George R. R. Martin in another book. What's that book called? Fire and Blood.
Yes.
This is all sort of like pulled from that, and
why I have higher hopes for this show than for Game of Thrones is the beginning, middle, and end of this story is all plotted out. So they can't just go off and figure shit out for themselves.
Right.
It
sounds like it's semi-limited series then too, right?
My guess is they'll do two or three seasons.
Two or three seasons tops.
They can't do eight seasons. They'll do three.
I was just going to look something up here.
And then they'll tell another Targaryen story. They'll tell another House of the Dragon story. They'll tell the story of Aegon's Conquest or the Blackfyre Rebellions or the stories of Duncan Egg or the stories of Jaehaerys and his reign, which lasted 70 years.
This show premieres August 21st. So in
one month.
One month, and then we're going to...
Are you excited for House of the Dragon?
Yes. We're doing weekly episodes.
We're going to do weekly episodes, so if you love Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon, you're going to have to watch along and catch up with us. Because, we're going to hot take, break it down every week.
I'm excited to get into the weeds of the lore.
We should even think about doing a watch-along episode.
Oh, sure. Well, here's what I'll say to that. I don't know if I want to... We should do that for, the second watching. Because, what if they say shit and we miss it and we're too busy yapping at each other? Silence! It'll be 90 minutes of silence.
True.
Okay, so cool. Let's move on to the next one. Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power. Super cool. There's a lot of weird bullshit hate about this show that I don't really get. Because, I'm not, a Lord of the Rings, heart. I've read the books, but I'm not, fucking, up in their shit. What is the cluster, what is the problem here, Christopher? Do you know? He's shaking his head no.
I haven't read any of the hate, so I don't give a shit about
There's a lot of stupid hate. Do you know what that comment is from the books? Do you remember that?
The what?
There's a trailer of this fiery comet flying through the air, and all the characters look up into the sky and see it. It reminds me a lot of like the red comet in Game of Thrones season one, if you remember that. But
it's the beginning of season two. You're right, though. Yeah.
It wasn't in season one?
It was the first episode of season two.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay, never mind.
It's a meteor that hits the ground. Yeah. In the Rings of Power.
Do they make the rings out of the meteor or something? Is that why we should care about this meteor? Do you remember this?
Or is it the image of a semi-divine being falling to Earth?
Oh. Okay, so...
I mean, it's all we know. We know Tolkien. It's all a Christian allegory, right? Is that Sauron falling to Earth?
It's been a while since I've read the Silmarillion. There is a lore that deals with who Sauron is and who Sauron's master is.
Morgoth. Do you think we're going to get a Morgoth in this show?
Maybe.
Because like he's like the devil, basically, and spoken in the Lord of the Rings stuff. And then like the Balrogs are like sort of like corrupted, like whatever the angel word is.
There's a lot of rich lore to pull from.
Yeah, Manwë.
Very
Manwë.
Very interesting flavor, yeah. And super cool potential for that show. So I'm definitely watching it.
What I'm interested in, I saw this commentary online, and what piques my interest, and Lord of the Rings is not, I mean, I love the movies, The Hobbit was okay, whatever. I haven't read the book, so it's not really my bailiwick. But what would be interesting is that this series takes place in the second age of Middle Earth, and the Lord of the Rings takes place in the third age. So this is thousands of years before that.
Yeah.
So we're going to see the height of Elvish civilization. This is when they are the dominant species of Middle Earth.
Right.
There's thousands of them. They have huge sprawling kingdoms, huge armies. Like the elves are in decline when we get to Lord of the Rings. This is when they are the dominant species on Earth, on Middle Earth.
Fascinating. And there's a lot, there's like a circle of like elves who are dressed in like white, who are given swords, and like Galadriel is one of them. There's a lot of like, who are those guys? What are they doing? I love the lore of this. I love the shots of dwarves. I think I'm always fascinated by dwarven culture. I think it's like these people who live underground who are fascinated with greed and they're like strong and stout and love to drink. I think that like speaks to my like Norwegian brain in some way, but I'm excited. Like, it looks cool,
that's coming in a month. That's drops beginning of September.
See, like, a lot of good stuff coming.
Finally, the drought of the pandemic is officially over.
Okay, next one. I will say John Wick 4. I mean, John Wick 3 was not great. I'm going to admit it. 1 and 2 are pretty fun. There's some great scenes in John Wick 3 that are like amazing, but I don't like Halle Berry in it. I don't really care about what's going on. I don't think that there's a lot of stuff that he would have survived.
I'll go see it. I'm disinterested in John Wick. The first Taken, the first John Wick was so kind of it was such a breath of fresh air to like the action genre.
Now it's just coming on.
Sense of itself.
By the third one,
he's spent all of his powder for me.
He's going through the motions, man. So it's,
they're just having fun, like. You know, I'll go see it because here's why you all should go see John Wick 4 is Donnie Yen is in it.
And he's awesome.
And I love him. And he is a legit, like, kung fu master. Like, legit martial artist. And I love him, and I will definitely go see it because he's in it.
I'll go see it. I'm just
right.
The series has spent its powder with me.
Oh, so. Totally. I mean, that's what I'm saying is, like, John Wick 3 was just like, oh, what is this movie? But there were scenes in that movie that were incredible. But it is so overblown and bloated, and
I'm not nearly as excited for that movie as I am for others.
All right, let's see what's next on the list. Well, I think we've wasted enough time. The D&D trailer dropped.
Yes.
This is the most excited I am for any movie. I think it's exactly what I wanted it to be. Fun fantasy adventure. It's not Game of Thrones because they're not taking themselves seriously. They're just having fun making a fantasy movie with, like, great little nods to the game. Even if they don't get all of it, all the nods correctly, all the rules correctly, get out of here.
I'm already exhausted with the bullshit Dungeon Master commentary.
Do you know
about not adhering? No, not you. I'm saying, like, others in the world of D&D.
Do you know
already
what
commenting on how that specific species can't transform into that because they don't use that kind of magic, and this is that, and blah 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 blah. Go jump off a cliff, you virgins.
I'm
so sick of that shit.
Do you know what a rules lawyer is, Andrew?
I've kissed a woman before, so no, I haven't heard of that.
A rules lawyer is the player at your table who things are happening.
Everybody wants to punch in the face.
Yes. This I've experienced this before. It's like you're DMing, you're in charge, there's things happening, and it's the actually guy.
That's his official title? Actually?
No, the official title is rules lawyer. That's a legit thing that's on the internet.
You have to have a rules lawyer in your game?
No, it's it's the asshole that can't hold it together. Who can't?
Oh, so it's like a self-appointed thing. It's like, yes. I am going to be the rules lawyer.
The player that wants to correct the table from having fun. That's right. So all of you who are saying, actually, you're the guy nobody likes.
That's right.
You're the guy at the table.
You're the guy.
I'm actually-ing everybody.
Yeah, you're the guy.
You're the guy at the table who got invited to play the game because they wanted six people instead of five. They thought it'd be more fun with one more person.
Your character is the character that always dies first.
Yes, yes. If they kill you off and keep killing you off, they're trying to tell you something, dude. Like, I want you to go through existential dread about hearing this. Yes. You are not liked. No one likes you.
Your character will die in your next session.
Yes. Yes. If you were me, I would kill you.
Lich is going to show up randomly, just appear, and just kill your level 2 character.
Let's break down this trailer a little bit.
Okay.
So I have more context. Chris Pine appears to be playing a human bard.
Correct.
Am I getting that correct? Because he's got a lute, so he's kind of like the leader of this pack.
Well, they don't really show anything in the trailer per se, but he should have some kind of magical ability.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that's the case, but it doesn't.
Bards are magical creatures in D&D.
He is doing magic through the magic of song.
So. Michelle Rodriguez plays a barbarian, it looks like.
Dope. Femme barbarian. That's chef's kiss right there. I love that. And definitely she's going to have to say rage at least once. Like just right. to just
Berserker.
For her to throw one to the cheap seats, she has to say rage like one time.
There will definitely be a fan service moment.
Yes, like that. Yes. What's her face is a tiefling druid, the one who changes into an owlbear.
Sophia Illis.
And she's famous from like the It movies and
Rajaejon Page appears to play a human warrior or like paladin.
Oh, I heard he's a paladin.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's going to be a paladin, you know, and he is not with the trio the whole movie. So I'm either wondering if he's a end of the movie ad, or he might get killed off early or turn mad.
I feel great about it. My paladins were my regular go-to character when I was playing.
Yeah.
I love paladin characters are a cool mix of holy and kick-ass.
They're fighters
What gives me hope about coming, like, I know D&D exists. I obviously have some terminology background. I've never played a session in my life. You're a DM, Patrick. Christopher has played it. He played it in high school. He's very involved in the cult. Coming from the angle of a fan of fantasy adventure, what they got wrong for me with the World of Warcraft movie was that they didn't have like a fun quest that these characters were going on. There wasn't an adventure. This definitely feels like this crew of people is going on an adventure together. They have an objective that they're trying to do, and they get into the shit. And that part of it is very enticing for
me.
All these characters together with all these different things, all these different personalities, set them on an adventure and have fun.
Yeah, I mean the best kind of fantasy storytelling for me is we have this great evil or this thing that this understandable adventure that we need to cross, like the Lord of the Rings. We got this ring. We gotta get rid of it. This is all the shit we get into on the way. The Hobbit. There's a bunch of gold sitting in this freaking thing, but it's guarded by a dragon. We got to go there and see if the dragon's still alive and figure out if we can get it back. Like, just that is the framework of great fantasy. Just go on a quest, get the treasure, or stop the great evil and win the day. Like, so yeah. I love this that they're doing this. I love that it looks the way it looks. I love all the creatures that I saw in the black dragon, the red dragon, the mimic, the displacer beast, the gelatinous cube. Like, I am so pumped.
What gives me hope, and we exchanged this text, what gives me hope is that the cast that's involved, every other Dungeons & Dragons movie that's ever been made has been a shit C+ at best movie, right?
Yes.
And so the cast that's involved in this are of a level that they're not signing on to some straight-to-video movie. They're just not. And so that gives me
Chris Pine is a bona fide A-list leading man.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that alone, and he has got the personality to pull off the whimsy of a bard.
Yeah.
So and
we see that with Kirk too. The way he brought Kirk to life, he has the charm, but he also has like the end of the upright. We'll follow this guy vibe.
Yeah, so charisma. Charisma, and that's a key element, a character trait of bards.
Well, it's funny you're saying this, Christopher, because I've watched a few interviews that they did at Comic-Con of like the whole cast showed up. And, like, they're asking questions. Chris Pine is the first one to answer, like, everything. Like, a lot of them just sit there and don't know what to say. But he's, like, talking about the game, talking about how when they first met up, they made them all play Dungeons & Dragons together. Like, to get to know each other, to understand. Yeah. And he's like, I had never played it before, but I loved it because you pick a character and then you're acting. You're acting, you know, and it's like you're making choices about the character, and so he gets it. I feel like that people are short selling the one moment because they're worried that they're not going to get all the rules correctly or the world is going to be incorrect. But I feel like they did a good job and they're trying their best to do all the little things. But no one likes you, rules lawyer. No one. So now we're
March 3rd. March 3rd is when it comes
super
out.
Super pumped. Way too long. Way too long.
Yeah.
That might be worthy of an LA trip to see it together.
Oh, to see it together? Let's play Dungeons and Dragons before we go see it, and yes. then go see it. I love this plan. Okay. all right. I mean, anything else? That's all I got on my list. We're about a where we should. Do you have any trivia for us, Andrew?
I do have some trivia.
Yeah, trivia.
Just because we talked a lot about trailers.
Mm. And, hey, before we move on, one other thing I want to bring up.
Yeah.
Is the announcement was made of the Avatar.
Oh, I forgot about that. Adult Avatar movie, adult right?
Avatar animated movie, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Made by the makers of the show.
Yes. Cool.
This is the top three San Diego Comic-Con moments for me.
Oh, yeah.
Avatar panel. I mean, it might be top one.
Yeah.
But that Avatar panel is so cemented in me in terms of watching the... It was an incredible fandom
incredible
moment.
Experience.
Right? Fandom cool moment.
And all four of us were there for it. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. Daniel went too. That was the Comic-Con that he Daniel actually went to us. Yeah. So that so in my
that show's incredible. If you haven't watched Avatar: The Last Airbender, watch the show. Watch it. There's no excuse.
I'm excited about
it's on Netflix right now.
The creators also made the show Dragon Prince, which is not a very good show, but they released that there's going to be a season 4 of that, which
I did not watch season 3. So.
I didn't watch season 3 either.
Yeah, it's not a not
Avatar as young adults. The crew is at young adults. Yeah. I am super pumped for that.
Yeah. Uber.
Yeah, so no, I totally. They released the picture of all of them together. I mean, as adults, and I was like,
That picture has existed online for years.
Well, so you see a lot of the adult characters in Korra, flashbacks and stuff. But I'm excited to see all of them as adults and see what they do and what kind of adventure they have set up. They got to have some kind of like big villain that they got to fight or something, some kind of conflict that they have to sort out.
I'll be there. I'm going to watch it.
I'm totally going to be there. Totally be cool.
One of my favorite. Ashton and I rewatch that series once every 6 months.
It's incredible.
That's awesome.
It's an incredible series.
Trivia, Andrew.
Trivia. So we talked a lot about movie trailers today. My trivia question for you is, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, what trailer was the most, in the first 24 hours of its release, is the most viewed trailer ever?
Star Wars The Phantom Menace.
Star Wars The Phantom Menace. Okay. That's your...
Mm-hmm. That sounds right. Yes.
You're in the right universe.
Damn it! Force Awakens?
Force Awakens, the second Force Awakens trailer, had over 30 million unique views in 24 hours.
Damn it!
On YouTube.
I guess when the Phantom Menace came out, like, YouTube wasn't really a big thing. Like,
Yeah, I was thinking second or third trilogy, so yeah, that got that wrong.
Okay. 30 million unique views in 24 hours.
Wow.
I need to do a full rewatch of those three.
Yeah.
I rewatched The Last Jedi a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's really that good.
No, not that good.
Yes. It really is that good. And Rise of Skywalker really isn't that good.
Rise of Skywalker tries to rewrite all the things that Last Jedi tried to do.
And he's so angry.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, yeah. If you want to help Andrew with his trivia, you should email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. Email the podcast, brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, brothers_geek@twitter.com. Brothers Geek, do stuff on Instagram, brothersgeek.com. We're on Spotify, we're on iTunes, we're on YouTube. Thanks for watching or listening. Bye.